Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show on almost every weekday evening at 6:30, sometimes 8, sometimes 11, sometimes 9:30. Always on the button presenting issues of moment to our society. And I want to talk about, tonight I'm going to talk about where is Jesus. And I'm going to tell you where he is, where he can be found. And there's a great confusion in modernity about Jesus being alive and findable, but I'm going to talk about it and how you can find him and where you can find him and what you can do about it. And so tonight I will be talking about that. But let me tell you that I'm going to give you a little background about myself. This is a politically incorrect show. It's not a show concerned with media lies, media falsehoods, or false rhetoric, or media rhetoric, or fads and fashions. We're concerned with the Holy Scripture, which I adhere to fully and completely, and to the creeds of the Church, Athanasian, Nicene, and Apostles' Creed, and I adhere to those creeds and to the great Christian authors. If I'm going to read something, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to tell you, and I want to make it clear that I'm going to read C.S. Lewis, I'm going to read G.K. Chesterton, I'm going to read St. Augustine, I'm going to read St. Paul. St. Paul is one of the most profound religious thinkers that you can find in the world, and not to know about him is to be impoverished. And not to read these great books, let me tell you this, not only to read, not to read these greats is impoverishment and destruction and darkness, but not to read at all anything important is destruction and darkness and impoverishment of a magnificent kind. There's no book greater than War and Peace, no book better than Resurrection by Tolstoy, no book greater than Anna Karenina, and no book greater than A Passage Through India by E.M. Forster. Those are some of the books that I'm concerned about and love and treasure. And those people who do not read those books, I say this, they could be Henry James, they could be Kipling. Whoever they are impoverished in not reading them. And their lives are being decimated. Next, I want to say that I am a Christian, as I said. And this show is a Christian show. And I want to say that I have a podcast. I run podcasts and a blog talk radio show, which have a Christian orientation. And many people from many countries in the world visit these sites from Saudi Arabia, India, Bangladesh, United Kingdom, all sorts of places, listen to these Christian-oriented shows. And many of my wonderful Muslim brothers and sisters, in fact, listen to these shows. And I'm very proud and happy that they are being included in my as my friends in the world. And they are, and I'm happy that they are hearing about Jesus. What are they going to do about it? I don't know. But they're hearing about him, and they may, hopefully, Jesus will enter their lives as he chooses to enter everyone's life. Now, I am a writer. I've written 10 books, legal books and Christian books. I've written, actually, 5 Christian books, Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, Essays on the Parables, and Essays on the Psalms. My latest book is on the Psalms, a 390-page book, and I think you'll be happy about it if you read it. For me, the Psalms are the voice of Christ and the voice of God coming out of eternity. They were written in 1500 B.C., and they stand hard and fast in their profound greatness and how they inspire me continually. John Donne, the great Anglican poet, said of the Psalms, they were the manna of the church. And the Psalms, to me, are the most profound statement of religious belief that you can find. And there is no work that has been more translated and effectively translated than the Psalms. And that's why they are so great. They come across in every translation you can find. They are the voice of God in the world, will always be. They are Jewish lyric poetry, and that lyric poetry they are is very profound and great. I also have written over 800 blogs. I'm preparing other books on these blog books, as well as a book on the miracles and a book on the Book of Job, which I'll be working on these days. And another legal book I've partially completed on hearings in criminal law. Now, I've also written two academicus articles in Albanian Scientific Journal, which has been bought by many German and European libraries throughout the world and American libraries, and most significantly has been bought by the State Department. And the my book, my Syracuse Law Review article, a 90-page law review article in the Syracuse Law Review, has been bought by the United States Supreme Court as well as the State Department. Many people visit these blogs from foreign countries in academia at IDDU and in my website and on social media, and they apparently find them of interest. Even though they may not share those religious beliefs that they represent, they're willing to read them and have be informed by them. Now, I want to speak about, the topic I'm going to speak about tonight is a very sensitive topic. It's a topic the world deals with very unsuccessfully. But I think it's important. We have to understand, where is Jesus? First of all, he is represented as having a 3-year ministry and dying as a criminal, crucified, and then rising from the dead with a human body and eventually ascending into heaven. So as far as we can say, he is a human, he had a body. He is represented as coming, rising from the dead and ascending into heaven. But is that where we can only find Jesus, having risen from the dead and ascended into heaven? I think Jesus can be found in many places all over the world, every minute, every second. First of all, he is found in the face of every person that you know. He is found in the face of your neighbor. He is found in the face of the suffering person that you know who has cancer, who is dying. He is in the face of every significant suffering person that you can locate and find. He is in the face of everyone you meet. Jesus, we encounter Jesus everywhere and any place in every human being, because every human being is created in the image of God, men and women, and in that image they are in the image of Christ. Christ is God. We have to understand, it's the beginning point of grasping the Christian religion. Jesus is God. He says he's God. He made a point of being God. He rose from the dead, something only God can do. And moreover, to the point, he is in the face of every human being you can meet. Because all human beings are in his image. Therefore, he is found in the face of every human being, everywhere, every place, anytime, all generations, from the past to the present to the future. And he is found not only in every person you can meet, but he's found specifically in the church. There's a great hymn that I recall having heard in my youth called "The Church's One Foundation is Jesus Christ Our Lord." And that hymn is a most profound statement of Christian belief, because Jesus is found in the church. He is the church. He represents the church. He is the church in the world. So wherever you're going to find the church, wherever there's a proclamation by the church of Jesus, you'll find Jesus. So where can we find Jesus? You can find him everywhere and any place you go. You will find him and locate him and know him and understand him. Where any human being is found, Christ is found. Where the church is found, in any building, in any place, Jesus is found. More important, wherever there is an act of charity, wherever there is love, there is Jesus. There's no doubt of it. He is everywhere present with his goodness, with his charity, with his love. and there he is found in the face of every human being you can locate. So that's as much as I have to say about where we can find Jesus. You can find him anywhere you want. He's found in your neighbor. He's found in the person on their deathbed. He's found in the child who has not been aborted, who is allowed to live. He is found in every human being that has ever lived, will live, and will come to live. Because every human being is in his image and likeness, as it says in the Bible. And moreover, he is the foundation of the church, and he is found in the church always, every second in a church service. He is found in proclamation. He is found in praise. He is found in everything you can imagine that's good and loving and charitable. The face of Jesus is everywhere where there is goodness and love. Where are you going to find him? Well, I think you can find him anywhere you want. Really? He's not going to fool you into finding him. If you feel that he doesn't exist or doesn't mean anything, then I guess you won't find him or you won't have a use for him. But he is always available. That's the key. Jesus is available to all men and women every second, every minute. And that's just what I have to say about this tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Where can you find Jesus? Everywhere and anywhere. You can find him in the church. You can find him in the goodness of other people. You can find him in love. Where there's any love, you'll find Jesus. He's found everywhere and anywhere. He's found in the face of your neighbor in particular, in every person that you see, and particularly in every suffering person that you see. His presence is magnified and made greater. He is present where there's compassion. He is present where there's humanity. He is present where there is love. So that's just what I have to say about Jesus tonight and where you can find him. You can find him anywhere you want if you want to find him. If you don't believe he exists or he has no meaning for you, then I guess you won't have much to do with him. But he will be available for you at any point in your life, in any second of your life. He will be present and in his love for you and in his love for you, and in his love for all mankind and women. I close this show with this statement. He said in John, "I am the resurrection of the life. He that believeth me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." That is the key. It's the key statement of the Christian faith. It's the key statement of the presence of Jesus, that he is life. He is abundant life, and he is the resurrection, which he offers to all men and women all over the world, every second, every minute. I hope you've enjoyed this little talk and gained some knowledge from it, and I will be talking about something else tomorrow night. And I advise you to, if you have time, you might read my books, Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, the book on the parables, two legal books, Select Legal Topics, Volumes 1 and 2, and my most recent book on the Psalms, as well as my books coming out on the blogs, over 800 blogs, literary blogs, political, current events, and theological blogs, Interpretations of Holy Scripture. These blogs are being formatted into two books, and I will soon be preparing a book on the miracles in the Bible and on the book of Job, which I hope you... By the way, the book of Job is one of the great, great books of the Bible. Job was a Greek. He wasn't Jewish. And he presented the world in the form of a Greek play in the book of Job. Very interesting, very fascinating, a great book and a great work of art. By the way, I have to say, to read the Bible is to read the great works of thought and art. And even if you don't believe it, they're going to affect you because they're true. As Mortimer Adler said in his great book, How to Read a Book, the Bible is the foundation of Western culture. He said it in 1940, it's the foundation, and you have your children, ladies and gentlemen, pick up their Bible and read that foundation and read it from beginning to end. Don't let them fall behind and be made fools of by a secular, lying society, which is gaining your children nothing but falsehoods and dishonesty and lies. I will be in touch tomorrow night for further discussions on Jesus and his meaning. Good night.